cocktail or something.
I have a seltzer. Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back for the Survivor Edge of Extinction finale recap. Everything went down exactly how I said it would all season. Victoria got sixth place. Chris comes back from Edge and wins it all. So, Alexa, did it not go exactly how we planned, or did it not go exactly?
It did. You won the bootless, the prep at the fantasy game, the eliminator game, you know, like 100-1. I am actually going to be quitting the podcast after this. And Vaughn, who actually picked the winner of this damn season, he picked Chris. I told him he was crazy because Vaughn never picks someone like Chris. And Chris pulls it out. That was amazing. I mean, that's the word I'm going to go with. We'll talk about everything later, but that was absolutely amazing. That was probably the most entertained I've been for 3 straight hours. And yeah, Vaughn is something. Phil and I, right before we went live, we were talking about the power rankings game and how we all just completely like fell apart at that ending. That was unexpected, to say the least.
Unexpected, to say the least. What I think is funniest, though, before we give Vaughn too much credit, is because
also he lost everything else.
Yeah, because of the rules he made for the fantasy game, he literally had 3 of the final 4 and lost to Alexa and I. He barely lost to you. You got him by 1 point. I have to check Alexa's math because she added it up.
Yeah, check the math on the fantasy game. I was messing up the days and the MVPs and the immunities and all that.
Sure you were. But
I still lost.
Yeah, but you beat Vaughn. And what's crazy is Vaughn had 3 of the final 4. But he was the one who said, no, you don't get any points for having a player on Edge of Extinction. You don't get any points for that. And he has Rick Devins and Chris on his team. And he got 0 points from Chris between days 8 and days 36. So sucks to be
Chris was at the app. Yeah, sucks to be unbelievably intuitive about this game, Vaughn.
Yeah, still getting 3 out of the final. He got 1st, 2nd, and 4th. Like, it's insane. He does it every season.
And yeah, he's unreal. And then for those of you who are keeping track at home, which I'm sure you aren't because you have plenty of other more important things to do, Phil, Robert, and I all had our completely different final threes. None of those options even remotely happened.
None of them were even close. Yeah.
So for those of you who listen to us for our witty banter, stay for that reason. For those of you who think we have any insight on anything, I might go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I had Victoria, Lauren, Chris. So I did have Chris, but I had Chris getting 1 vote.
That's good. He did get 1 vote.
Yeah. You had Lauren, Eric, Julie. Julie did get 3rd place. That was right. You did have Edge of Extinction in there. And then Robert had Rick, Victoria, Lauren, and Robert blew the lead for Team Survivor so badly that he actually lost to Alexa, even though he was beating Alexa by like 7 coming in.
Yeah, Team Survivor was coming in real strong in that finale, as was everybody. I know this is all for the $20 patron, so only a small portion of who's listening to this. But also, everyone should become a $20 patron next season because it's going to be super fun to keep doing this. But yeah, a lot of people had really big leads and a lot of people ended up doing pretty poorly.
Yeah, it was crazy. So we really do have to just talk about what went down.
Yeah, we'll talk about that separately. Yeah.
We have to talk about what went down.
I found it to be quite boring and predictable.
Oh my God. So I have so many things to say about this finale. I have so many things to say about Edge of Extinction just in general. But I will say, oh God, I'm going to get in so much trouble. The right person won.
I know. I think so too.
And I love you, Gavin. I love you, Julie. But Chris, we were talking about it. I think it was when we had intern, maybe it was when we had Alec and Kara, whichever one it was. But we said the only way the person coming back from Edge wins is if they win fire, they win immunity, they win whatever other immunity, they have to play idols. They have to do everything right. And if you think about what Chris did in the 3 days, first of all, getting rid of the 3 biggest threats, because just so everybody knows, Victoria would have won if she got to final 3. Rick would have won. Might have lost to Victoria. And then you had Lauren. Those 3 were going to win. Those were the 3 favorites from the jury. So Chris comes in the game and he orchestrates getting them out. And the first boot, it's Rick playing an idol for himself, which Chris knew was going to happen. But he convinces Lauren to give him the idol. And anybody who's going to sit here and say, like, Lauren got robbed because of Chris's second idol, we can talk plenty of times about Chris's second idol. It's bullshit. It shouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah, that was fine. I can't believe that happened.
But Lauren didn't get screwed by that. Lauren gave up her idol to Chris for no reason, and she really blew the move.
I think because she herself was like, yeah, I kind of screwed myself. Yeah, I think everyone is saying like that was an amazing move.
Yeah, it was great. So he gets her to do that. He flushes that idol. The next vote, he's able to Did he have immunity? He won immunity, right?
He won immunity because then he gave it up.
Yeah.
That one.
Well, that was at Final Four. Rick wins immunity, gives it to Gavin. Chris has his own idol. They vote out Lauren at five because Chris had convinced Lauren to play her idol. Had Chris not convinced Lauren to do that, Lauren is safe at five. They vote out Julie. Lauren can still win the game. Rick can still win the game. I think both of them probably beat Chris if they get to Final Three. So now you get to Final Four. He wins immunity. He takes himself out of safety, out of the Final Three, sits down against the biggest threat, and beats the biggest threat in Fire. He did literally everything he could do. And if that doesn't win a season like Edge of Extinction, they should never have Edge of Extinction again, which we'll talk about. But that was – he did as much as you could do as somebody – with the days he had, he did as much as he could do. And unfortunately, I think he – not unfortunately. I just think he sold himself better than Gavin and Julie did at Final Tribal. And it wasn't so much the relationships he built on Edge of Extinction. It was just the fact that – he knew he had to make every single move coming back in, and he did. He made every single move.
He sunk every single shot, and I think he said that. He was like, I have to. And there's a ton now for all of the articles that we missed and all the post-game press that we missed the past few months, we got it all today. Like, all I was doing at work was reading. And it was a bit of sensory overload, but we'll get to, like, the information that he received, because that, like, that there's plenty to talk about there, but he used that information so well. The fact that he had insight from the jury, which is something that the jury's not allowed to talk. And now there's a member of the jury playing back in, and it was Victoria who was the one who was like this is really valuable, but this is also super dangerous. And she gets hit by that. Lauren gets hit by that. And he plays them well because he has such an advantage. I mean, I'm going to call it that. And
it's a huge advantage.
It's a huge advantage. And we'll talk about whether or not that's right and whether or not that's fair. But in this season, he did everything he needed to, and he sunk every single shot. And as soon as he gave up that immunity, I was like, that's going to be it. That's how could you possibly argue against that? And we'll talk about the Final Tribal in a bit, but he sold himself well. I didn't even know he was a salesman. That's how little I knew about him. And when he was like talking about the double negatives or whatever sales tactic he used on Lauren, and Lauren's like, yeah, he did it. It was great. And no one took that as like, oh, he's talking down to us. He just like explained that really well. He was very well spoken, probably because he had a really long time to sit and think about what he was going to do. But he played well. I think you're right. I think the right person won. I'm okay with him winning. I feel so weird making like confident statements about this, but he played, I think he, in that last time that he played, I think he played better than Gavin and Julie. I think he absolutely did.
And a lot of times it's won or lost in those last couple days, and that's where he won it. And and the one thing that really did screw Victoria is people didn't realize, the people left in the game didn't realize that the jury was all going to vote for Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they found that out was when Chris came in and said, the jury's all going to vote for Victoria. And then that's when she became a threat. Chris doesn't come back in the game. I think, like, see, when I did my predictions, I'm thinking in terms of a normal season. And in terms of a normal season, Gavin is the one who's perceived as a threat, in my opinion. That's what I think would have happened. And then I think Lauren is perceived as a threat. Nobody was perceiving Victoria as a threat. But I'm telling you, we're gonna have some interviews, because I got to do some schmoozing. I tried to talk to some of these people, and we're gonna have some interviews.
Bill's wearing a button down tonight.
I have to be classy for the finale.
I'm wearing sweatpants, but I put on a business jacket. We're here to be professional.
We're here to be professional. But we're gonna have some interviews, and I think that the jury really saw Victoria's game that the fans didn't really see. And Chris coming back in, it makes sense why Victoria's edit was all over the place the entire season. It was because she gets voted out sixth, and it's because of an idol and all of this. It is what it is. I mean, it sucks, because on another season, I think she still wins, but, you know, it is what it is. She was more robbed than Lauren, though, because Lauren gave up her idol.
I don't think anyone's saying Lauren is robbed.
You should look at our chat, because there's a lot that say Lauren is robbed.
I try not to look at that.
Well, I'm just saying. I think that there's some people who think that Lauren was robbed. Lauren made a bad move.
This, like, season was robbed.
Yeah.
Put it kindly.
And like Ron, my favorite part of the finale was when Ron turns and looks at Lauren and goes, "How did he convince you to do that?" And she was like, "Pretty stupid, huh?" That was my favorite part of the finale.
that final tribal was long and difficult. And I like how, I think it was in between the outwit and outplay part where it was Aubrey who said, and Aubrey was on this season, for those of you who are unsure, she said, like, "I know this is really hard. Like, I know we're coming in hot. Like, just it's all good." And I liked that because that kind of gave a perspective that we're not grilling you because we hate you. Like, we respect this. We respect this game. We love this game. And I really liked that she said that.
Well, yeah. And it's a weird final three because Gavin played a great game. Gavin didn't get one vote the entire time. And I love that Rick Devens brought that up because it's like, hey, he didn't get one vote and played 39 days. Meanwhile, this guy didn't play for however many days. And if you've read a lot of Rick's exit press, it's been when you're out there, you can go take a 4-hour nap on Edge of Extinction and nothing happens to you. If you take a 4-hour nap in the game of Survivor, you lose. And I think that that's what's really interesting about this. So, like, I do see, like, Gavin's, like, it sucks. Like, Gavin plays such a good game and comes up just short. But also, it was what I was saying all along. I didn't believe that Gavin would be able to pitch his game to the jury, and he didn't. At least from what we saw, it didn't look like he was able to convey the moves he made in a convincing way, which is a bummer because I think he had a really great case if he would have just said, like, "Look, I put you there. I put you there. Yes, I worked with Victoria to do it. Yes, I worked with Julie to do it, but I put all of you there. I turned on Eric when I had to turn on Eric because we didn't even hear about that. I did all of these things while Chris was sitting on Edge of Extinction and I never got a vote." But he just didn't seem like he pitched it well enough. And it seemed like Julie actually made the best pitch for herself at the final tribal, but poor Julie, just like, it was just like nobody even gave her the time of day.
Yeah, I actually thought Julie had the best intro out of anybody. I was like, Julie's going to somehow pull this out. I figured Gavin wouldn't win because we didn't talk to him the entire episode. Like,
he was invisible on the finale.
Two confessionals in the finale, which is pretty crappy for Gavin, who ends up getting second place. But that was exactly right. I thought his I hate using the word resume, but like his pitch could have been really great. But the things that stuck out to me where someone asked about idol hunting and he mentioned that he was in the majority alliance and therefore didn't feel the need to look as much. And to me, I was like, why did you say that? And then he ends up getting 4 votes. And I was like, Gavin's about to pull this out. And it obviously ended up not happening. But that like kind of back and forth between Gavin and Chris is really interesting because that at the end of the day, and the jury was saying this too, do you vote for someone who lost?
Yeah.
But then you also, this guy has such an advantage because this jury told him everything and no one else was able to learn that. And I guess we can go into this. Someone posted this in our patron Facebook group that Chris was able to take back letters written from people on Edge of Extinction wrote letters. Ron wrote a letter. Hold on. I have a direct screenshot. He came back that you didn't see with written notes from some of the contestants. He had a written note from Ron telling Julie to trust him. That's
crazy.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I am like very much cool with Chris winning. I can't believe that was allowed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is completely screwing everybody else. And I'm
who posted that?
It looks like based on the font, it looks like Hollywood Reporter, but it's a screenshot. But
oh yeah, see oh, that. Yeah,
this was like public knowledge.
Oh, that was like public knowledge. That's crazy.
That is terrible.
That's terrible. Because like Chris had like this is where I get a little frustrated. It's like Chris comes into the game, he's handed an idol. Now, why did Devens give him back the other half other than to be a nice guy? I don't know. Like if I'm Rick Devens, like he even said this personal relationship is gonna screw me. You should have screwed the personal relationship, Rick. Come on. But I that frustrates me that there's even
so badly.
What?
He probably just wanted a friend.
Yeah, he just wanted one buddy. But no, I just feel like that idol should have never been there. At final 13 or whatever it was when Rick came in, that's fine. But to give an idol, now the thing is when they give this idol, it can't be played until final 5. So you're literally saying if you get past this first vote and you can convince the person to give it back to you, you are safe until the final 4 and to at least have a chance to make fire. That's crazy because that was handed to you. You didn't find that.
And it was the same one.
It's the same one. And I love how they were just laughing. Like, it's the exact same one. So had Rick never played it, would they have re-given it to Chris? Or did they have another one? I don't know. But I hated that. That was something where I like lost my mind.
And I've been saying that all season. I was like, what do we think? And everyone was like, no, that could never happen. Like, that's so ridiculous. And then I can't believe that happened. Very much wish I was wrong.
Yeah. That was bad.
That was awful. That was bad. And I think it was like, it was Julia and Wardog and a bunch of people who are having like a pretty healthy conversation about like, this is the season and we have to vote for you guys within the vacuum of this season versus, you know, who played the most deserving game. And I think at one, it was Wardog who was like, we got to judge the people. We could talk about this all day. We can't.
He said that the theme isn't on trial. You three are.
That yeah. And that's just, I don't know. And I don't know what the answer is for that. I like Chris and I like that he won and I like how he won, but I'm like shocked by his advantages. And I absolutely hate that is how he won, by being a member of the jury and having information that no one else could even possibly learn because they're pretty much being screwed by not losing. That's just really hard for me to get behind.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is too, though, like somebody like Chris normally doesn't go out pre-merge, right? Somebody like Chris normally makes the merge. So my thing is, if somebody who had made the merge comes back, like let's say it was Aurora or Wardog or Ron who come back, they've more recently played with these people. So it's not as big of an advantage, I don't think, because they already know your game. People know what Ron was about. People know what Aurora was about. They know what Wentworth was about. Nobody knew what Chris was about except for Rick. Mm-hmm. And Lauren kind of, but I don't think Chris and Lauren really worked together, or at least we didn't see much of it. So to me, like, that's where this one is so absurd. Like, it's so out there. Because a person who normally is going to win that challenge is going to be somebody who makes the merge. You know what I mean? Like, look who was
away from winning that.
Yeah, Joe was right there. Aurora was in
it. Actually, we called it. It was like Aurora, Eric, Joe, and Chris who were all in it. So. Yeah.
Which like all of those people make the merge in a regular season. Chris doesn't make the merge in this season, but like that's where this is a really strange thing, is because if somebody who made the merge comes back, it's not as big of a deal, I don't think, because you can't be, it's like, well, it's already common knowledge. I know you have the idol, or I know this, or whatever. But when it's somebody pre-merge that you don't know anything about, especially if you're Victoria, Gavin, Julie, you literally have never met this man in your entire life. Victoria and Chris. Victoria and Chris on day 35, I believe it was, right, when Victoria went home. That was the only day they spent together. And I guess it was day 36. Victoria spent 24 hours with Chris. That's essentially what I'm trying to say. She spent 24 hours with Chris, and they were in the final six together.
Yeah. When he was like, hey, it was so nice to meet you, and shook Julie and Gavin's hand, I was like, what is this season?
And my thing is, I was very entertained by this season. I'm not going to lie. I love how much of a mess it was.
And this finale was probably the most entertaining finale, behind only the 1 second of Ghost Island where there was, you know, a tie.
No. I thought it was very entertaining, but then I also have super big frustrations with it, which we'll get to. But like, or we've kind of already talked about what we'll get to with the final five thing. But for me, it's like, yes, this was very entertaining. This is great once. Please don't keep doing this.
Never
please,
do
Edge of Extinction. Yeah, please don't Edge of Extinction ever again. And like, I don't know who needs to send this to CBS. If me and Alexa speaking about it will work. But please send to them, don't ever do Edge of Extinction again. Because it worked this time.
Like, comment, share, retweet.
Yes, please. It worked this time. Because it was a weird situation. I think it worked this time. I do. The experiment worked. And I'm all about how ridiculous it was. Like, I'm all about it. Like, do I feel for the players who played strong games and got there? Do I feel for Rick Devins losing fire to Chris at Final Four and becoming a robbed goddess? Does that work? Can he be a robbed goddess?
It's a G-oddess with a dot.
A G-oddess, yeah. So yeah. Like, is Rick Devins allowed to be a robbed G-oddess? Does he go from
– robbed goddess.
He was loved to a robbed G-oddess to – the most hated man in America, literally, like, Rick Devins, people would try to take pictures
with, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah, they wanted Rick Devins to take pictures with their baby, and Rick would just, like, push the baby aside. You know, that's what he was doing for 6 weeks this season. And now all of a sudden he's robbed again. And, like, honestly, Rick, if you're listening, it's probably better you got fourth place. I know you didn't get the million. You got the sea of money. You got $100,000.
Very shook.
Very good chance that Rick Devins is probably going to end up playing again. And also, like, now nobody can be like, he's overrated. He sucks. He's not overrated. He didn't win. Because if he would have won, it would have been, it was rigged for him. Well, now he didn't win. Is it still rigged for Rick Devins? Because he didn't win.
Everybody was voted out of the game.
It's great, though, because he apologized to Reddit in his Gordon Holmes interview. And I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
I love, yeah, Chris mentioned Reddit in his interview, in one of his interviews, too. I love how everyone's just like, you know, screw you, Reddit, but also sorry, but not.
Yeah.
I love that. I forget what I was going to say. Crap. That was a really bad piece of there.
What I think I was most shocked at in this finale, though, was that it was a 9-4 final vote. I'm surprised Gavin only got 4 votes. And what I'm – here's two. And Victoria had tweeted about it, so I retweeted it. Anybody wants to read it. She gave her reasoning why she ended up voting for Chris. Oh, so, yeah, Gavin, okay. I'm really surprised at Aubrey. That's the one I'm the most shocked at.
Wait, so was Aubrey one of the 4 that voted for Gavin?
She voted for Chris.
Laura, Devins, Wentworth, and Lauren?
Yeah, and Lauren. It was the last 4 people voted out who voted for Gavin. Which is crazy. So what shocks me is somebody like Aubrey, who's like such a like survivor purist, and like, you know, she's such like a fan favorite because she was robbed at the end, would vote for somebody in a final 3 who played for 12 days over somebody who didn't have a vote going into that. Because like, if you think about like from a survivor standpoint, what's the better game? Gavin's game is better. It's just Chris did more with the time he had. Chris did everything he could do to win the game. But
yeah,
you're also at a point where, like, you know your back's against the wall, and the only way you're going to win is if you do everything. So there's no pressure. Gavin never had that moment.
Yeah, I have, like, two different trains of thought with that. I don't know if Aubrey's, like, a purist, because I think if she was a purist, then, like, I don't know. I don't know. I think her gameplay would be different. I think she respects the game for what it is in the shit show, excuse me, language that it now is. And what was my other point? And people are into Aubrey because she's robbed. I don't think she views herself as robbed. I mean, maybe she does, but she doesn't preach that.
Yeah.
I don't think she really preaches
that. She doesn't have to. Everybody else is doing it for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe now she believes that. But this kind of goes back to, we say this with Ben in the finale. We saw this with Nick in the finale last year. Those final days, one, everyone loses their mind. Like, we saw Angelina lose her mind. I think, like, Rick kind of lost his mind a little bit. I think everybody just goes a little bit insane in the end. And it moves so fast. And you're seeing 3 crazy, crazy, crazy tribal councils in 3 days. And it almost makes you forget, like, a crazy move, like Carl playing the idol nullifier, how long ago. So when you come in really hot at the end, that's either going to make or break you. That broke Dom, because I think the last 4 people voted out didn't vote for Dom.
Sebastian was his breaking point. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Dom lost his mind. And so I think being able to mentally handle that last like half a week, those last 3 days, I think that make or breaks you. It makes or breaks you. And I don't think anyone is immune from it. I don't think there's any way to prep for it. That's just kind of the trend that I've been noticing with these like really finals.
See, and what I was bummed about with this finale more than anything is that I never believed Gavin or Julie was going to win. And both of them, especially Julie, was like, why didn't you ever believe in me? She said that straight to my face, and I had to explain to wonderful Julie why I didn't believe in her. But I just I wasn't getting a winner vibe from that. Like, I could not imagine them sitting in first place on this season. I could have imagined Vic. I could have imagined Rick. I could have imagined Lauren. And honestly, like, obviously we watched Chris do it. But what I didn't like, even though this was entertaining, is that Victoria goes first and Lauren plays her idol. So we all know Lauren is going home next. Well, that means in the final 4, there's really only 2 people who can win. One is the insanely obvious person who can win. And the other one is the one that is now causing all the controversy. Then you have Gavin, who played a really great under-the-radar game, and Julie, who I think did play a really good game. She just was – they didn't want to vote for the emotional player. And she played up her emotions at her final tribal speech. It just didn't work. So that, I guess the boot order here, and I'm not saying this just because Victoria goes first and Lauren goes second, and those were my winner picks there. But I would have liked to have seen a final four that was like Lauren, Julie, Rick, and Chris. So that at least I know we're getting two of the three into the final three. Like you said, Gavin got almost no screen time in the finale. There's no way he's winning getting no screen time in the finale. So as like somebody who watches it obnoxiously closely, I wanted to see at least Lauren or Vic still in it at final four with Rick and with Chris. That's really what I wanted. And once Victoria went home and Lauren played her idol, I said, ooh, there's like no drama here. And really, yeah. Final five, there was no drama. It was just the ridiculousness of these fake idols being played, which we need to talk about.
Which of the two people is going to go home?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was something.
And we all knew it was going to be Lauren because there was no way anybody was voting Julie out at that point. No. Like, we all knew it was going to be Lauren because she had friends over on the jury that would have voted for her no matter what. Like, Kelly Wentworth would have voted for Lauren no matter what. I really do believe. Even though Chris said, you need to make a big move, I think she needed to make a big move to convince the other jury members, not to convince Kelly Wentworth. So already Lauren's getting at least one vote, probably two, probably three. Like, I think she gets a couple. So that was my biggest complaint, is that there was like no drama. Now, though, how do we feel about Rick? Or unless you have something to say on that. Do you have something to say on
no,
that?
No, no, no. Let's go to the next one.
I just want to say, with Rick, I love that he made the fake idols. Was it too much? And also, how do you feel that this is different from when Ron gave him the piece of paper and Rick was like, you want to make me look like an ass in front of my family? How is this different?
The fact that you asked that question means that we're probably going to agree on this. And I'm glad you posed it that way, because Stephen Fishback, he had some great live tweeting last night. I thought he was great. He tweeted something that he ended up deleting, and I wish he didn't, but it's because the internet's terrible and probably tore him apart. He made a comment, why? And actually, no, he phrased it well, because he didn't mean to bring it up as a double standard. He just wanted to comment on how the two were framed differently. And these are very different situations.
I agree. But, I agree. I love Rick Devens. I'm saying that.
All people about to mention, I am huge fans of.
Yeah.
This is I'm about to reference Angelina from last season, where Angelina was rightfully crucified for, that's a bit extreme.
Yeah, right? Jesus.
I just said Jesus. This is going downhill real fast.
Yeah, we're falling apart here.
Rightfully criticized. That was word vomit.
We'll
right
cut
now.
Crucified. Don't worry.
Yeah. That's, okay. Hi, Mom. Rightfully criticized for doing that for the sake of embarrassing Allison. Mm-hmm. No one liked that. I don't think fans liked that. The jury certainly didn't like that. I don't like that. At first glance, I do not like that Rick laughing at Lauren was shown in a positive light. Like, that we were shown that to laugh with him at her. Mm-hmm. And she was dancing, like she was kind of giving it to us too. But I didn't like that at all. I didn't like when Ron did it, because Ron did that for the sake of embarrassing him. Yeah. The difference that I'll give is that Rick hid those to throw them off his trail. Totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. Totally down with that. Once he started laughing, and I know, like, now
it was hilarious. I mean, no offense.
It was
hilarious.
Well, I guess, and that's like me being an armchair. I don't know what it is. Like that. Like, that's me criticizing from someone who's never played. Not in a time where I just said everyone goes crazy and loses their mind. And it's ridiculous of me to say, like, oh, how could you possibly laugh at her? That's so rude. I would have been laughing at her too. Yeah, exactly. I'll blame this on production, because I blame everything on production. I am annoyed that we were told that Angelina's a jerk for doing that. But with Rick, it's like whimsical and funny.
Here's what I think the difference is. I'll talk about Ron's too. So yeah, I think with Ron's, when Ron gave his thing to Rick, you're not giving him an actual – Rick is still going to go look for an idol. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's not like you're giving him an idol to stop him from looking, which is exactly what Rick was trying to do. The biggest problem for Rick is that they found his idols after he found the real idol. So we knew he had the real idol. And therefore, while we're watching Lauren and Julie find the fake ones, we're like, wow, this seems unnecessary. But had he not found the real idol and they find those idols and they don't, like, that other real idol never gets found, it's a great move because you're stopping them from finding the real idol because they already have one in their hand. So that's why I just think the order of it being found is what makes it seem like so awful. And the fact that he didn't just go and pick them up afterwards because there's no reason to give them to them.
Oh, no. I thought the whole thing was I didn't think it was unnecessary. I thought it was a great move. I don't like how it was portrayed that it's funny when Rick does it, but it's not. But it's like an asshole when Angelina does it. And I get that that was Angelina's shtick, and I get that was Rick's shtick. I just don't like how they were portrayed in that way. But him planting them, of course you got to do that. That I have zero problem with the move, and I have zero problem with him laughing at them. I just have a problem with it being cool when Rick does it and it not being cool when Angelina
I have to rewatch the way Angelina did it, but I think also like everybody knew it wasn't real. That was the other problem. Allison even knew, and Angelina, I do remember Angelina's reaction. Where she was like, no way. Yeah. And it was so fake. And Mike like did like the gym stare at the camera from The Office.
that was just like acting. I've never seen.
I mean, I just hung out with Carl and Angelina, like, because Carl was here. And I hung out with Carl and Angelina for a long time. And Angelina is absolutely wonderful. She just, the hunger got the best of her. Okay. Yeah. But she was absolutely wonderful. It's just like fun. It's funny now to talk to her because she's like far enough removed from Survivor that I think she's just like, whatever. Yeah, it is what it is. Like, it is what it is. But like, she knows who she is and she knows everybody on her season likes her. So like, she doesn't care. Yeah. But I do understand what you're saying. It's just, it's like, not for nothing. They were really well made fake idols. And the fact that he hid them in the paper that says it. And like, what makes me laugh the hardest, right? And like, Alexa put the picture of me, Wentworth, and Lauren up. Lauren, like, I don't know how tall Lauren is, but she's taller than me. And I don't know if it was because she was in heels, but I'm pretty sure she's taller than me without heels too. No offense to myself, but I thought what was so funny is Rick had to climb the damn tree to get the idol, and Lauren just reaches up with a stick and pulls it down. I thought that was so funny. D1 athlete. I just thought that was so funny. Like the image of that where like Rick is watching, because I thought Lauren was going to have to climb the tree. And then I would have just been like, oh, you poor, poor Lauren. Why? Like she's climbing the tree to get this. Yeah. It would have been brutal. Like Rick is just watching her climb this tree laughing, but it's actually funnier that she was able to just like poke it while Rick had to climb the tree. And like, it looked like he had a 10-foot jump to get down. And like,
that was amazing.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I just don't like that there were so many real idols in play at this point. And look, if Lauren's idol is in play still, I'm fine with it because she found it on like day two. Like she said,
yeah.
She found
I love it too early. She dropped it. She's like, oh, I don't even know when I found this. Yeah. It was so long ago. Yeah. Love that move.
Exactly. It's very smart to the jury because it's like, I never even had to use it. I don't even
have to think about it. I love that. And Lauren also, and this is like Allison playing that fake idol too. Like you got to play it. Lauren is the only one who said, we lost two idols last night and three people found idols. Something's wrong here. She's the only one who had the foresight.
Well, yeah, I mean, she knew that it wasn't real.
Yeah, she had the foresight.
Yeah, let's be. Because she even said Rick finds his first and all of a sudden me and Julie are finding ours. She knew it wasn't real, I feel like. Yeah. I feel like Lauren knew that. Yeah, like Lauren's got a brain. Come on. Like I think she knew. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I would not be surprised if Julie knew too. She was just like more hopeful than Lauren was. Cause I think Julie was like, no, this is going to work. This is going to work. And it's like, can't have all five people be immune, but see, this is what I go back to. They need to stop hiding idols at six or at seven. That's when they should stop hiding idols. It's like at seven. And the thing is like, I have no problem if Lauren's is in play and Rick's is in play. That's one thing. But if Lauren would have not played her idol at final five, Well, Rick played his. So if Lauren plays her idol at final five, are they going to hide another idol so that Chris would have one, Lauren would have one, Rick could possibly have one, Gavin can win immunity, and the only person to be voted out is Julie because of a Suri thing? Like, that's what bothers me. The fact that Chris was handed an idol means that if Lauren had kept hers and Rick had kept his and not had to play his at final six, are we looking at a situation where there's three idols in play at final five? If somebody else wins immunity, one person just goes home because there just weren't enough idols. Like the giving it to Chris one, that's the one that really bugs me in this situation.
Yeah, that one was absurd. And I know we already talked about that, but we brought it back up. Cinnominoid.
It's like, it's a big point.
Like, so Armageddon about it, because I know everyone is like losing their mind after this season and what we're about to see next season. But that, like, are we going to have a, we need a whole separate podcast for my opinion on that. But are we going to have a even more Suri Tribal Council where everyone's immune? Or are they like, how do you plan out? This is where my lack of math knowledge comes in, but like, how do you guarantee that that doesn't happen? Because at this point, we've had someone who lost the game win. I wouldn't be surprised if someone who's immune can go home at some point. That's
Are there ever, I don't think there's ever more than three idols in play. Even though it seems like there are, I don't think there's ever more than three idols in play. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
you're
I'm wrong.
Right,
but if there's never more than three idols in play and somebody wins immunity and the last time you can play it is a final five, that's why they make it a final five.
What if there's like three idols in a legacy? Oh no, you can only play that at certain times.
What they need to do, and this I'm even going to be more on board for it now. They need to bring back the Karl Boudreau idol nullifier.
And I'm surprised it didn't come in this season.
I agree. It needs to be in every single season now because it needs to be out there to nullify some of these idols so that like somebody who can be like, look, I did all of this. Gotcha. Because if you're going to have all these idols in play, like imagine if Lauren is able to at that last tribal say, nope, I am playing this individual, this immunity idol, whatever, this idol nullifier on Rick or Chris. I guess it was Chris because Rick had one immunity and that's why he gave Rick the idol. So she says, I'm going to play this on Chris. Chris goes home. Like that needs to be in effect up until final five, just like idols are, because like it didn't used to need to be there, but there used to be like one or two idols in play. Now there's three. Now there's just every day there's more idols being hidden. So that's just how I feel about it. But
yeah,
I mean, production's not going to listen to me. And I honestly, like, I'm not bitter about this season. And I don't really think that, I mean, I was at the finale and everything, and I don't think the cast is really bitter about this season. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe we'll get
is like they can't change that.
Yeah, and maybe War Dog will come on and start screaming at us at the top of his lungs because he did announce that he was going to come on. He tweeted it, said in a couple weeks, so we'll find out what that means. But like from what I could tell, everybody seemed okay. Like everybody seemed good. Everybody seemed like they were having a good time.
It's like their life stream.
Literally.
I mean, like, I'm fine with that. Like, we still love the show, and for those who complain that they're leaving the show, like, for that's something I completely made up, but people say that all the time. Like, then that's fine. That's what this show is. And I don't like this twist at all. I don't like how it ended up, but I'm happy for Chris. I just don't like how it happened situationally. That's fine. I'm still going to watch this really dumb season with a freaking 20-foot statue of Sandra's face. Like, what the hell is that?
I know.
Like,
see,
I'm still going to do it because I love the show.
Yeah. I can't wait to see. I really thought those were CGI'd in at first. And then when I found out that was like real, I was like, they did that. Oh, we literally have statues of, I saw somebody had tweeted, I think it might've actually been Wes from that other podcast that we can't talk about, but I think he had tweeted like, I can't wait till aliens discover Earth and see these giant Easter Island skulls of Sandra and Boston Rob and wonder like, what was this? Like it's absurd. It's ridiculous.
I know. At least, oh God, I have so many problems with this. It's bad.
It's bad. But hey, we're gonna sit down. We're gonna watch it. And like, this is what I think that like, I feel like I say this every season because every season it feels like there's like some sort of controversy. But like, it's entertainment. That's what we're watching. And yeah.
Yes.
Like, obviously, there's a lot of money on the line here. And yeah, we all want it to be like it was and whatever. But like, these people are getting to live a dream. If I got to live a dream and I got screwed, I'd probably be like, well, I got to play Survivor. Hopefully they ask me to play again. Like, that's like, you're living this dream and it's entertainment. The point of Survivor is to entertain. And you can sit there and just be really frustrated with it, or you can just watch it and be like, I was entertained. I was entertained by this finale. I was very entertained by Survivor Edge of Extinction. Survivor Edge of Extinction, if I'm looking at season rankings, which Alexa and I are probably going to redo in the offseason, I'm probably not putting it any higher than like 25. But I'm not putting it as the worst season because I was entertained. I need to be entertained. Now, if you can entertain me, have great strategy, have great gameplay, have great blindsides, and it doesn't feel like it's overproduced, yeah, you have David versus Goliath, you have You know, you have China, you have Kaguya, you have Amazon, you have Heroes Villains, all that.
Yeah, a couple of my coworkers, I convinced like four of my coworkers to watch with me this season. And they watched how this ended, and then they were like, do people always get to come back? And I was like, no, stop that.
Yeah.
And then they heard about next season, and it was so weird that like that is what they think Survivor is. And I was like, you guys, like I think I started like nerding out too much, and they got a little like freaked out. But it's weird that this is, I don't want to say it's the norm, because last season was such a good outlier, and even Ghost Island wasn't that big of a problem, and Ghost Island was fine. Like Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, it was a fine theme, and Millennials was Gen X. It's just these past two have been really like, or no, just this one and the following one are so weird.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And we don't know how it's going to play out. Like, let's be honest, watching Edge of Extinction, I don't think that played out like anybody expected it to play out. It really wasn't that bad. There were episodes that Chris wasn't in because they didn't go to Edge of Extinction, or they went to Edge of Extinction for like a scene. So like it didn't eat up that much time. And like, I think there was the thing that Chris still had more confessionals than Natalie White did in her season. Oh, and he played for 12 days.
Poor Natalie White.
Oh my God.
Every cent of that million.
Yeah, I hope she is too. She's gone off the grid, and I hope she is. But yeah, I mean, look, I was entertained. This was a really, I think it's, I mean, people are gonna say like that it was like boring, like that there were boring people on the season. I think it's a fun cast. I think like they're an interesting group, and maybe I'm biased now because I've met I think I've met all of them. But yeah.
They had a hard time editing them because of the way the season was.
And it makes sense now, because if Chris is going to win, how are you supposed to edit all these other players who don't actually win the game? Like, how do you edit Victoria and Lauren, who you know are going to go out 6 and 5, by a person who's not even in the final five when the finale starts?
Yeah. Which makes sense, because like those two and Rick, like Rick obviously, but Victoria and Lauren especially, everyone was kind of like just feeling good about them, and everyone just felt like they were the ones who could win, because they within that group had the best edits, but there was still nothing that really sold you about them. And now we get it.
Yeah. I got to watch I haven't watched the Ponderosas yet. I want to watch the Ponderosas. I feel like those will be a really good time. There's so many of them, so I haven't seen them yet.
The memes about like fighting over the showers, and like the wildebeest stampede from Lion King, like towards the cafeteria. Oh, like, God. That
I'm probably just gonna turn that on as soon as we're done with this podcast, because I want to see all of them go in there. But what I was gonna say is, like, I think this cast was really good, because if you think about it, normally when there's returning players coming in, those returning players own the season, and that didn't happen this season. And like, you know, Joe was barely there, Aubrey goes out really early, David and Kelly, like they got their confessionals, but it wasn't like an overwhelming amount of confessionals. Also, like, they were integral to the game. They were integral to the story going forward. And you had people like Rick Devins. I think people like Lauren and Victoria could definitely play again. I mean, they had content there. I think those are people who can play again. I think that, you know, I think War Dog, obviously, like, come on. I mean, is War Dog never going to be on my TV screen again? Like, come on. Come on. Like, War Dog will be on my TV screen again.
Not on my TV screen again. That was horrid.
Wait, oh, that beard? Oh, his Matt, was that Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy? It was one of the Hardy brothers. I think that's what he was trying to do. It's a wrestler. Yeah.
That was the horrifying.
Yeah. And then also, like, you know, you had Ron Clark. Ron Clark's a huge personality. Julie, like, is in the older woman demographic, because she's in her 40s. But like, you talk to Julie, and then you see Julie on TV. Like, I think Julie had the most confessionals out of somebody in the finale not named Rick Devins. So, like, that's pretty crazy. Like, that's really cool. Aurora, like, big personality. These are big personalities that, like, it was a weird season. Like, it's just weird. And, like, I think you could see
any other season.
What's up?
They would have taken it over any other season. Yes. Like, remember when Rory and Aurora got in that one tiny fight, and we were like, give us more. Like, that's, like, we wanted that so badly, and it just – I guess we just didn't have the time for it.
Yeah. Also, Carl is in the live chat. He said, Alexa, you suck for not being there.
Carl, so, I actually know my coworkers listen to this. Tell my boss to let me.
I want to say this to you, Alexa. I know I did a good job with the David versus Goliath cast, because every time I ran into one of them, they said, oh, where's Alexa? They didn't care that I was there. So at least Edge of Extinction cast, hopefully when some of these people start to come on, they'll tell you how they really feel about you. But the David versus Goliath cast loves you.
That is quite surprising. But that's nice. Yeah. I mean, it's been like the craziest week at work, and I'm also running a half marathon on Saturday, which is super exciting. So I'm trying to not drink, and I've been doing a good job of it. And I think attending these parties would, I probably would have been pretty boring in comparison.
Yeah.
But I don't know who I'm pitching this to right now, but December finales work way better for me than May finales. So
I have to say this.
Haters who are listening, please come back in December so I can meet you or come to New York.
And don't worry, Alexa, like when you have the Godfather staying at your apartment for 2 days to go to Survivor parties, you don't drink. We didn't drink. We didn't have any. Yeah,
but you guys just like sips tea, right? Like,
what? Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah. We have a little party. Yeah. Also, Carl, because you're listening, I call one half of Phil's couch in 6 months.
Yeah, there you go.
I haven't slept on it, but it's a pretty sizable couch and I want half.
Yeah, he actually took the small end. So don't worry. That's, you could. Oh.
Interesting.
You're taller than Carl. So.
Am I really?
Yeah. There you go. Cool. But yeah, it was tea and pizza. That's it. Carl says tea and pizza. That's all we had.
That's the dream.
Yeah. There was no alcohol consumed, but yeah, it was like a really fun time. And it's always hard after the finales when you're somebody like me, I don't know what the other podcasts are like, but when you're somebody like me who just gets to go to these and you start meeting these people and they know who you are, it's very surreal when Kelly Wentworth knows who you are. That's a very weird feeling. Yeah, it's really cool. And like, you get to start talking to these people. Like, I met Yao Man. That was sick. Anybody keeping track at home, I got to meet Yao Man, and I got to watch Eric Halfman meet Yao Man. I don't know how to say Halfman's last name, but he got to meet Yao Man, and he like fangirled over. Okay, I'm just going to say.
Like that you watched a Survivor fanboy/girl over another one.
Yeah,
he did. I was on the phone with my mom before this, and I was telling her like that like you had met everyone and it was going really well. And she was like, they don't think you guys are weird yet, or like for just popping up at these parties. And I was like, we're consistently afraid of it, but everyone seems to think we're somewhat normal or pretends to.
Well, I think now enough people know who we are, you know, so now I'm okay. It was weird. It was weird in 36.
We dress up for the podcast now.
When I showed up alone and Dom's wife is staring at me going, I recognize your voice, but who are you? And I was like, okay, Dom's wife. It was really fun. But,
I go throughout my family's home, but who are you?
Yeah. So it's really hard for me to comment on this because Julie and her husband like absolutely love us. And I was really happy that Julie didn't pull out a wooden toy and scare the crap out of me. I was gonna
say, like, hopefully we'll get to talk to Julie in the coming weeks, but did she make any comments about our weird wooden toys?
Oh yeah. It was like literally the first thing that we discussed. Yeah.
It kind of died down, like with certain guests, like we knew we weren't going to like ask them their opinions on wooden toys because there's a time and a place. But I remember
it was because of Bryce. That's why we had to stop because of Bryce.
It was Helen where it got a little questionable.
True.
And yeah, I remember the first time we asked this, I was like, Julie's going to think we're such jerks. She's going to think we like really don't like her. And our whole thing is that we don't judge people. But I think she ended up. You tell me. It sounds like she ended up thinking it was funny.
She just doesn't like when I insult Bradley. But Bradley okay. Loves being insulted. So that's Bradley's thing.
Bradley didn't make the merge. So
well, did you know that Bradley played 7 more days of Survivor than a Survivor winner?
That is so bad.
I love doing this to Bradley, the poor guy.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really great. I also wanted to say everybody who I met there was fantastic. There was like not one person except for maybe Rick Devins. He's an animal, but I loved everybody there.
What more? Oh, fire making in the.
I liked it.
Loved that. And you know, it's a tight area. I think I tweeted this. You know, it's a tight area because they couldn't get both of them in the same camera shot. Mm-hmm. That was crazy. I love how poor Julie and Gavin are just like, what's going on over there? Like, can we come watch? And Jeff's literally breathing down their necks, trying to like make interesting commentary. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, it was great. My favorite thing was War Dog's. It's over. It's over. And then all of a sudden he's doing that face like, War Dog's facial expression. Somebody start giving those. I know we have the Lauren eye rolls, but we need the War Dog facial expressions. He was the narrator of that fire making challenge, and like. I feel like he was almost wrong. He was right that it was over. Chris was going to win, but his facial expressions. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that was great. They get fire practicing stuff.
That was different.
Happened. Yeah, that was a thing that happened.
That was different.
Yeah, this was a season that happened. See, I love going back to the C award. I know we already kind of beat this to death, but I love how Rick was just flabbergasted that it was $100,000. Like Davey and Ty are probably feeling, I mean, I'm sure they feel great because they got free money from Sia, which is pretty insane. But like, what a jump. I bet that at this point, like I'm sure she's working with CBS because Jeff even like named it the Sia Award now. So I like what they did. I think it's cool.
It used to be Sprint fan favorite, and I think now it's become like the Sia fan favorite award. And like, let's be honest. I mean, Davey probably, no offense to Davey, who I also got to hang out with this weekend, and he was one of the ones who was like, yo, where's Alexa? And I was like, oh yeah, hi Davey, nice to meet you again. I missed you.
Hi, Davey.
That was his first line to me. But I will say that like Davey probably isn't the fan favorite of that season because Christian's there. So I think Christian wins that. But I think that's what it's becoming. It's becoming kind of like a fan favorite slash like it's almost becoming like a consolation prize, which I don't really like, but that's kind of what it felt like. Because Ty
like Terry got it. Like everyone, that's kind of what it is.
I just worry that sometimes like Terry got, but that was a different era of Survivor. What I worry about is that like because this might lead to like the playing to the cameras thing. Cause like, I remember people were so pissed when Rupert got it in All Stars. And it was like, yeah, because you edited him that way. Like he won $1 million and people were so mad. It was like, you edited him like that. Anybody else could have won this, but you made Rupert be fan favorite. So wait, I just worry that.
$1 million for that?
Yeah, it was $1 million back then. I'm pretty sure.
Up until when?
No, it was only for that season. I think for All Stars, that was the only time it was $1 million.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think also, like, you can't really give it to Wendy this season because she's one of the only two people to quit, which, by the way, talking about the bootless game, we said on the podcast, however they sat at the reunion is how we were scoring it. They sat in the order they were booted, which I'm shocked at, that Reem gets 18th place despite the fact that
you want to talk about robbed goddesses. Reem Daly not getting third to last place is an absolute travesty. Yeah. That is crazy. Correctly made such a thing about this in the season. They made such a thing about it at the finale. And Reem gets put in the bottom. That's stupid. But we did that.
I didn't like that.
Reem should have gotten third to last. Absolutely robbed. Should I go through? Should I crunch the numbers real quick?
Yeah, let's give some announcements on who's winning buffs this season. Think we already announced who won the patron one, or we didn't even announce that.
No, we did not because we actually didn't know. So for the boot, so we have three games. We have the bootless game, propest game, and the fantasy game. And for the first time in probably the history of forever, me, Phil, and Robert all each won one.
Wow.
Is crazy. So for the boot list, Phil and Robert actually tied with 106 points.
That's terrible.
And I beat the three of us, quote unquote, with 92. But to put this into perspective, our second place winner, who was also one Survivor, Adam Klein, got 62 points. Our first place winner is Matt Warpecha, who got 60 points. So not only did you blow Phil, Robert, and I out of the water, but you also beat a Survivor winner by 2 points, which is pretty darn cool.
Won't lie, Adam is very upset about it. I'm not kidding. Adam is pissed.
When you told me that Adam was asking, I was like, this is gonna be good. Like he lost by 2 points. So Matt, we will contact you, or more easily, if you could contact us, we'll get you buffed. That'll be awesome. For the prop bet game, Phil got 8 points, I got 15 points, and Robert got 16 points.
Eight.
And what's up?
I got 8. That's horrible.
Yeah, prop it was rough.
I got 4 props all season. That's horrible.
We need to edit a couple of them because I think we got rid of, we need to get rid of hashtag blindside. We also need to get rid of torch snuff with no words because one, I can't keep track of it, and two, it doesn't really happen anymore.
Yeah.
But that's really.
I can't believe I got 8 points. That's horrible.
It's not great. No one is blindfolded, but we can't get rid of that one. No. And the winner of the prop bet game, again, shows, I mean, Robert did pretty well. Winner of the prop bet game is George Smith with 21 points. So George Smith, I don't think I see you on social media, but you obviously submit on YouTube. So find a way to contact us and we'll get in touch with you. For the fantasy game, Carl gets 4th place with 128 points, which is not that bad considering 3rd, 2nd, and 1st place. Vaughn gets 141 and has the top 2 finishers on his team, yet still loses by 1 point to me, who gets 142 points. But in the end, Phil pulls out 173 points
for the
fantasy game.
You know what's crazy about the fantasy game? I didn't have anybody in the final 4. And I got 173. So that's what I do. I don't – last season I was cut at Christian, which was final 7. I didn't have anybody in the finale.
You like put a lot of work into those. Don't like put much effort into those. And so I think like you rack up the MVPs, which is huge.
I know. I do get that. Well, it also helped that I had Wentworth, David, Wardog, and Ron, who were like huge. They were like the four biggest characters on the season for a good portion of it. So that helps.
Next up, this Eliminator game. Vaughn won that. That one got pretty dicey at the end because we were running out of people. We didn't even end up doing that for the second to last episode. And then for our $20 patrons or for the Power Rankings game, Phil got 79 points. Intern / survivor guest got 82 points. I got 85 points. Wow, which actually tied for the winner.
No, you got 84.
Did I get 84?
You got 84.
Okay, I got 84. All right, well, I got tied with second place. Patrick Craig wins the $20 patron Power Rankings game. 85 points. Chris Dixon only 1 point below gets 84 points. And Jeff Steinberg and Nathaniel Asher tied for third place with 81 points. So
I'm not going to lie. I was convinced going into the finale that I was going to get 0 points taken off my score. I was wrong. I was very wrong.
She was wrong.
Yeah. Also I got to talk a little bit to like Victoria's father and like family and Victoria. And I will say I took it harder than all of them. That Victoria got voted out of six. Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. That you could have heard a pin drop in that place when she went home because I was like passed out in the place.
But she was dead. Did Victoria did she know how?
No, but everybody else. You guys think that the internet trolls me? You guys think the internet trolls me about picking Victoria to win? I got it. I got it from a lot of people. Her parents didn't know. No. But the cast.
Where are the moms?
Oh, the moms. Chris's mom. Chris's. Oh, yeah. I got to give all the shout outs to the moms. Chris's mom loves us. Got to talk to Farm Guy 69. Hell yeah. Got to talk to Wentworth's mother as well.
We're here only for the moms.
But Farm Guy 69 gets a special mention. I think. Who else was there? Becca Devins' mom. Loves us. Becca's. So Rick Devins is mother-in-law and father-in-law.
Wow, we have all the moms now.
We have really crossed over now.
We have crossed family lines.
Yeah, we have. If there's any other mothers I'm missing,
happy
I apologize. Yeah, I apologize. I called Julie's, supposedly it's her 37-year-old brother. I called him Julie's son. That was a bad move.
That means young looking.
He looked young. He was like, "Are you kidding me?" I was like, "Oh, my bad." I knew it wasn't though because it was a slip of the tongue. I had, come on. But
classic.
But I just wanted to say so. Julie is fantastic. Love Julie. But yeah, I don't know. The moms weren't coming out like how Allie Elliott's mom and Gabby's mom were like going wild. Alex's mom.
Alex. That we had double the moms. Yeah, we're gonna have to, do some tweaking this off season. Gotta get the fan.
We gotta get that back. You need to show up. That's the problem.
I guess moms love me. So I'll be there in December. Hi moms. Yeah. For season 39 moms, if you're listening, tune in. Follow us on Facebook.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Other than that,
I think Jeff has a really awkward conversation with Joe about his hair.
And then he cut it for charity. So that's why
I did see that. That was nice. I said, WTF, why is Chris helping Julie? Which was I'm going to butcher this reasoning, but he wanted to be with Julie because he wanted to get on that reward and hear who they thought was the threat because he had a lot of.
It made sense that he, it's annoying that he helped Julie if you're watching it. Like if you're one of the other players, because why are you doing that? Yeah, Rick was pissed, but yeah. I get it. I get what he was doing.
Amazing move.
Yeah.
Of course, the re-entry challenge was a ball challenge. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, Lauren Ryan Reynolds' confessional, loved that.
Well, yeah. Why I forgot about that because that happened so early in the episode. That tells you
Ryan Reynolds.
Chris was Ryan Reynolds. I was just gonna say anybody who's about to date Lauren, just know if Ryan Reynolds walks in the bar. You lose.
I love that. She was like, sorry, I'm not trustworthy anymore.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was
so funny. And speaking of Chris, does anybody know if Bryce has a heartbeat still? I mean, the content he put out last night was unmatched. He looked like he was going to have a heart attack. He was unbelievable.
Poor Chris. That's all.
Like Bryce leaves comments on Chris's Instagram and they're so funny.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for Chris. Poor guy.
Did you get a chance to talk to Chris at all, or he must've been mobbed?
No, I got to talk to Chris.
He has to know.
Oh, does he know? We could do an entire podcast just Chris talking about how he feels about Bryce. No, of course he knows. I mean, Bryce, I mean, how could he not? Look where Bryce is. I told his mother that Bryce is making a 32-day month next year so that Chris can be up for that month. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm ready for the next Zaddy calendar reveal.
We know it's going to be Chris January through December.
Chris, and then – like we need a Lauren River. We need like a Dada. I don't know who it's gonna be, but
I don't know.
We'll have to talk to Chris about that.
We'll have to figure that one out.
Phil, we didn't even hit an hour, or did we?
I don't know. We were close. I think we're close to an hour. The finale ones are always a little bit shorter, but we're based on what I think is gonna happen. I think we're gonna have some interviews. I really do. We're in the works here. We're talking to people. So this one, especially with the long off season, we're going to try to get a bunch here because I know maybe they could say what they think about giant statues and how they would want theirs to look. I would love a War Dog one where it's just like the bald head and like whatever that beard was. That's what I want. The War Dog
challenge. You have to like slide down the bald head.
Yeah, that could be a great challenge. Like if they had like a Kelly Wentworth one, would they be able to get the platinum blonde hair? Like I need to know these things. These are important.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to. That's a good question. Instead of what are your opinions on wooden toys, what would your bust statue? What would your facial expression be? What would you be wearing? So
exactly, that's what I want to know.
Family friendly question for season 39.
Definitely. Well, they were a family friendly question because it was a kid's toy until Kellen took it too far.
And I think I used the word unadulterated and then Kellen was like, oh. And that is what happened. But Julie doesn't think we're insane. Maybe she does, but she still likes us. I think that's why you guys like us. Maybe we're still not really sure, but we are so appreciative of all the fans we got, like all the fans we gained this season, all the patrons we gained this season. We had a really good time. This was our first season adding on these extra podcasts. And I think the past few months we've put out some really good stuff with like our all winners predictions and our showman's bracket. So we had a lot of fun with this. We had a lot of fun with this season. We, you know, hopefully complained a little less than most people. But yeah, as Phil said, we are hoping and intending to get a lot of interviews after the season. So working on scheduling them now. Hoping to have some, you know, within the next couple of weeks, within the next month or so. So stay tuned for that. We haven't forgotten about the May Q&A and retrospective podcast. So we need to work out our schedules. There's kind of this TV show that's ending Sunday night that, you know, is also actually that will free up our schedules for Sunday. So that'll actually be good.
Game of Thrones and Survivor ending in the same week is probably the greatest thing that could happen in my life because now I can be a productive member of society.
Yeah. Oh, and also, are we still doing Amazing Race podcast? Because I can finally do those again.
Yeah, it wasn't on last night because of the Survivor finale. So it'll be on next Wednesday. So we can we can start doing them live on Wednesdays now. We can them like right after the episode and we can just start doing them then.
Okay. Oh, that's a good idea.
Then we can actually get into a rhythm. For those, we still have Will. Will was very excited that he could say he was on the podcast again. So Will's back.
He's back. In limited capacity because you know you gotta keep that baby.
Oh, I forgot. I also met Troyzan. Alexa, are we gonna post Are we gonna post like the four pictures that I took? I'm really bad at taking pictures.
Yeah, PSA. So Phil, I do all of our Instagram and I do like most of our posting on social. And so Phil just sent me these photos and now I'm gonna post them, but act as if they're from both of us. Pictures.
I apologize that there's four though. I'm pretty like
no, because it's good. I'll do a whole album, or we will do an album. Our social
will do
media.
Our intern will do an album.
We'll post on social for us.
You got it. There's plenty of me and Rick. It's like when you meet the most evil man in the world. This is your reaction to it.
So you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He burned down King's Landing personally.
I do want to say too that anybody who's wondering, the person who took the picture of me, Wentworth, and Lauren was Chris Underwood. And he was very mad because they were like, Chris, take this picture of us. And I was like, Chris, dude, they want you to take the picture of me. And he was very mad. And then he forced himself into the picture because MPG just walked over. And then he was like, no, I'm getting in the picture. He just gave it to a random fan. But I just want everybody to know that Chris Underwood took the picture of me, Lauren.
That picture is funny because it's. I was like, is that PG? Like, she's – oh, she's in that. Okay.
She's in that. Oh, yeah. And then on a – well, yeah. To have an insanely somber note to end the podcast.
Oh, my God. It needs to be mentioned
because we're talking about PG. The Survivor community got smaller by one today because Ashley Massaro from Survivor China passed away today at only 39, which is incredibly depressing. That was like really wild news. I think it was unexpected. I don't know anything about it, but I think it was very unexpected, and it's a bummer. It's really sad. So yeah. Just we had to say something there, but that's just it's sad. And yeah, the Jean Hu tribe. PG just posted about it, and it's like,
that's awful. No, it's yeah. I think that it happened just like, or I guess that had just been announced a couple hours before we were live. But, I mean, that is terrible. And I'm sure her family doesn't listen to this. But for those of you who know her, for those of you, you know, this is a small community and it's a pretty big community. So, you know, I'm sure things are really difficult for her family right now. So, just I guess keep her family in your thoughts. Keep them, you know. Just,
yeah,
it's tough. So,
yeah, and I wanted to
really much brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I wanted to bring up that I was in PG's Instagram, and then it's like, but then the last one was Ashley Starr. But also, if you go back one more, I'm in PG's Instagram.
That was a transition for the ages.
Thank you. I didn't know how to transition out of that. So, I'm in PG's.
So I think I'm going to wrap us up.
Do it.
That's what I think needs to happen. So, again, for those of you who are just listening, like, please keep her family in your thoughts. Obviously, like, how this happened is of no interest to anybody. It's just, it's really terrible news. And I hope that her family is coping with it as best as they can. In the meantime, we'll be back, hopefully really soon, probably early next week with either our Q&A or our retrospective podcast for May, hopefully both at the same time. And even in better news, we'll hopefully be having a couple interviews soon. So, we don't have an exact defined time yet, but just look for us in some capacity early next week. And hopefully you'll be hearing from us a lot up until season 39. This is a really long off season. Any content you guys have that you want to hear from us, just let us know. Become a patron of the Survivor Specialists. We do these power rankings games. We do a couple off season things with our $20 patrons. And if you guys have any suggestions, continue to let us know. Become a $1, $5, $10, $20 patron, whatever you guys want. If you don't want to pay us, follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are almost at, I think we're almost at 4,800 subscribers. So hopefully by the end of the year, we can get to 5,000, which is super exciting. And yeah, we'll be back at some point soon. Thank you, season 38. This was a great season. It was certainly entertaining, even though we just pretty much screamed about it for the past hour. That's because we love this, and that's because we love you guys. So thank you, everyone. Thank you to the season. Thank you to production, even though we complain about you all the time. And thank you so much for the fans. We love you guys. We'll be back soon.
Oh, I have to stop.
Yeah, that's...